coast or along the river systems. And it has heavy reliance on natural resources for its water, pond water, the fish input as the fry, and the natural food. And this is greatly also influenced by weather conditions. Milkfish production in brackish water ponds has reached 220,000 metric tons in 2009. And for Region 6 in our study area, it has around 76,000 metric tons produced. Why milkfish farming? Why in Barotac and in Dumangas in our area? It happens to be that the area has the highest production of farmed milkfish from brackish water ponds. Total number and area of FLA ponds are 60 for Dumangas and 80 for Barotac Nuevo. FLAs are actually fish pond lease agreements. So these are government lands that are entered into by the Secretary of Agriculture and a qualified fish pond applicant for the use of public lands for fish pond development purposes for a period of 25 years. So in effect, the person rents the area from the government. There are around 4,496 FLA areas in the Philippines. And for Region 6, it has around 1,478 FLAs. And for Iloilo in particular, majority of which are found in Barotac Nuevo and Dumangas. So we have around 509 FLAs in Iloilo. The study area is in central Philippines on Panay Island and in the two coastal towns of Dumangas and Barotac Nuevo. The study team are composed of BFAR staff from the head office and from the regional office. And we have the stakeholder panel who have been invited to provide the expert opinion and information. The activities undertaken, we started out with, actually before the focus group discussion, we did some field visit with our partners in the area, after which we did some focus group discussion, the purpose of which is to map no and all the other objectives that we have been mentioned by Patrick from the methodology. So these are the focus group discussion which were did in the study sites themselves. Out of the focus group discussion, farmers' perception on climate change were gathered, and specifically for Barotac Nuevo, we had this perception from the farmers, and as mentioned later, it wasn't really much of a perception. Some of this has been experienced by the farmers themselves. So high humidity, sudden change in warm temperature, prolonged season, too much rain, too much heat, strong wave, tidal fluctuation, more storms, and too much rain. A part of the focus group discussion, we did a seasonal calendar and a crop calendar. So from here, the farmers identified particular seasons that their farming operations are exposed with, and the particular time which they do the crop, when they start pond preparation, fry stocking, repairs, and harvesting. We also did some risk assessment from the perception of climate change impacts presented by farmers. And it came out that tidal fluctuation, prolonged cold season, too much rain, short periods, long rainy season, sudden change of warm temperature, and high humidity were high risk for the particular group in Barotac Nuevo. For Dumangas, the other study area, they only provided four perceptions. So they said that the prolonged rainfall or the rainfall variability, floods were experienced, sea level rise, and extreme temperature, which could either be too hot or too cold. Dumangas also made the seasonal calendar as well as the cropping calendar. And then the risk assessment was that they all belong to medium risk. Stakeholder workshops were also conducted, a series of stakeholder workshops. These are basically to identify the sector's key stakeholders. So it's either the fish pond owner, the fish pond caretaker, and all the other stakeholders that are involved in the sector. So mapping the stakeholders' perception was also done. Mapping adaptation measures, improving how to improve adaptation measures and strengthening the farmer science and policy linkages. The first stakeholder workshop was done, wherein different stakeholders were invited to the workshop, and they were characterized, and we also mapped the key stakeholders to focus on appropriate adaptation measures. Stakeholders were classified into primary stakeholder, secondary stakeholder, and key stakeholder. The key stakeholder are actually those who can significantly influence or are important to the success of the project. So we did a mapping, no, or of the stakeholders who were important and had influence in the particular sector. And we found out that these particular groups were the key stakeholders, the owner-operators of the fish ponds, the caretakers, nursery operators, fish wholesalers, and fertilizer manufacturers. The key stakeholders are actually those who had strong influence as much as importance in milkfish production. So if you look at the matrix, you find that this particular group falls within the most important and the most influential. No? So stakeholders with high importance and high influence are the key stakeholders for whom we are to develop the adaptation measures. We also did institutional analysis, and this is to identify institutions that could be engaged in doing the adaptation process. And they are also potential allies in addressing the vulnerability at the area. The institutions were classified into levels of importance also, as well as influence. And we found out that the Department of Environment and Local Resources Forest Management Section was considered important and influential, and as well as the local government extension officer and the local government unit municipal agricultural officer. And you have the local BFAR, Bureau of Fisheries and Aquatic Resources, fishery officer. Because of the devolution or the devolution of extension functions in the Philippines, the office of the municipal agricultural officer, the fishery officer also falls within his office. So you might get confused about agriculture and fisheries. But actually, the fishery officer falls under the office of the municipal agricultural officer. So key institutions with high influence and importance are likely to be the target institutions for recommendations to plan and to implement adaptation measures. Actually, they are also the focus of our policy, of our information papers on information briefs, rather. So key institutions with high influence but with low importance to project success may also be involved, no, for being consulted or informed. The questionnaire data collection and analysis, this is actually the socioeconomic survey, so wherein we gather farmer data from the field. Actually, we tap students, no, from the schools to do the survey for us. So we oriented the students on how to run the questionnaires with the farmers. So this questionnaire, data from which were addressed, no, by our partners for that particular area, for socioeconomics, bioforest production, ACBA Planiva, and economics by KU. The questionnaire is actually a 16-page questionnaire which we field tested first in the field, and after the pre-testing, some questions were revised, some questions were changed, some wordings were modified to suit not the particular farmers, no, for the Philippines. Socioeconomic vulnerability and adaptation for Dumangas and Barotang. The results show that the following indicators selected were the respondent status, the age, percentage of household members involved, as well as experiences and awareness index. The profile shows that 60 for Dumangas, and we had 60 respondents for Dumangas and 69 for Barotac Nuevo. The average age was around 49 years old. And years of aquaculture average around 12 years, education around 71% up to high school level, and we had around 58% for those who have graduated. All farmers surveyed were literate for Dumangas. Households were composed of 1 to 12 persons. So it's a big household. Average 4.4 members per family, with around 2 males to 2 females. And there were around 0 to 10 family members earning an average of 1 person per family. Percentage of earning members to household size had an average of 34%. Fish farming provided around 87 to 80% of the household income in Barotac and Nuevo and Dumangas, respectively. Socioeconomic vulnerability. As part of the study, vulnerability and resilience indicators were developed, and they were important for developing future strategies for improving the adaptive capacity of farmers. So that particular analysis was used. Vulnerability scores were post-stratified based on the location of the farm. And we found out that for Barotac was highly vulnerable, while Dumangas was, we only had two. So Dumangas came out as a less vulnerable area. Okay, so 81% of farmers in Barotac Nuevo fall within the vulnerable, highly vulnerable, and highly vulnerable, very highly vulnerable categories. On 35% for Dumangas fall under this category. This indicates that the Barotac Nuevo are more vulnerable to climate change. Hence the need that we have to focus our planning and adaptation measures in Barotac Nuevo. We think this is so because the municipality of Dumangas has a climate feed school, making the farmers there aware of such things as climate change. And the municipality has a disaster preparedness program in place, far ahead of other municipalities in the province of Iloilo. For adaption mechanisms, the study aimed to find out that farmers, from the adaptation measures they preferred to overcome climate change impacts, they were asked to rank effectiveness of these measures. So one is improvement of technical and information support, basically training or awareness, information awareness. Then improvement of financial support or provide improved credit access, loan waivers or insurance and other reliefs. Then increasing the level of farmers' participation in climate change management. So from here, we found that majority said that all the measures were effective, and they have ranked this into levels of effectiveness. All three measures are effective to overcome loss due to the climate change. 20% of the respondents feel that it will be effective, and 26% feel to be less effective. 10% of the respondents stated that improving financial and credit support will be effective. And all the other proposed measures, such as the technical information and their participation in climate change management. The biggest problems in milkfish culture at present and in the future, as cited by milkfish farmers, were that it's weather-related, it's typhoons and flood, irregular season for both the present and in the future. Non-weather-related were fish kills and predator problems at present, and financial constraints and source of fry in the future. Preferred interventions. Farmers were also asked not to rank the following based on usefulness in overcoming losses due to climate change. And it came out that they ranked their own resources. So they believe that if they have their own resources, they could overcome the losses. Then they could run to friends and family, either borrow money from them. Or the third is depend on government agencies who would have relief assistance or programs that would help them. And then last, then either with the village authorities or from private sources such as credit institutions or other loan agencies. They were also asked to rank the factors that they think would be useful in mitigating climate change. So they ranked first technical guidance, coming from government agencies as first, and training as second, material support third, and financial assistance. Conclusion that we got from you is that farmers in the two study areas differed in socioeconomic status, including education, family size, and experience. It has implications as to how they perceive and respond to climate change impacts. 8 indicators selected for the analysis were important, determinants for milkfish farm level vulnerability. All indicators except the number of milkfish farms owned showed significant negative correlation coefficient with the vulnerability scores. This implies that the higher the value of these indicators, the lower the vulnerability of the farmer to climate change. So what can be done to reduce vulnerability? These are to improve current farming systems, more coordinated action at the provincial level, strengthen coastal defenses against sea level rise, storm surge, floods, and typhoons, improve forecasting systems, training and capacity building, crop insurance for farmers against climate risk, targeted research, better land use planning. Other stakeholder workshops were done, and one of these was to develop adaptation measures for future and predicted climate change. So this was to the purpose of which is to develop future adaptation measures for the predicted climate change in 2020 and 2050. Adaptation measures were developed for farmers, science, and technology, and for institutions. Attempts were made to cost the adaptation measures and develop timescales for this implementation. So for the predicted future climate changes, we use, no, as described earlier, using the zero climate and the A2 business as usual scenario. And we found out that for 2020, there's an increase in temperature, mean and maximum, and for 2050, also an increase for the minimum and maximum. The graph shows the increases for both years. As there's a possible effect for the increase in temperature, this is seen as positive, especially for the cold weather, where in milkfish pond culture, a minimum higher pond water temperature could improve growth rates, food conversion rates, and pond productivity. For precipitation, there's a general increase also, higher rainfall would be experienced in June, while a lower rainfall in July. In 2050, higher in the first half of the year, lower in the second half of the year, and higher around May, July, and August. So the map shows the areas around Barotac and Dumangas, and that this, the particular areas are low-lying areas. So they're, with the increase in predicted precipitation, they would be most likely be flooded. Again, for the low-lying areas. Storm surge combined with the normal tides can increase the mean water level by 15 feet. And based on the drawing, milkfish pond areas in Barotac, Nueve, and Dumangas are prone to storm surge from the northeast monsoon winds and the storms. Typhoons, maximum potential intensity will remain the same and undergo a modest increase by 10 to 20%. Extreme events, increased frequency and intensity of extreme events such as drought during the summer months and El Nino events. Increase in extreme rainfall and wind associated with typhoons, and these extreme events has been lately been experienced in the Philippines for the past several years. And for other stakeholder meetings were done, more specifically for focus on the farmer, science and technology, and policy groups. So we, in this particular stakeholder workshop, we invited key informants, especially the stakeholder panel that I showed earlier. So out of these workshops, priorities were identified, and for specifically for the farmer brief, the recommendation is to strengthen perimeter dikes because of storm surge and rising tide waters. So strengthening perimeter dikes would be an initiative that would be taken in coordination with the national government and other institutions. Also, installing wave breakers has been proposed. Wave breakers such as the picture below, wherein rocks are placed together a few meters from the main dike, and the area between the wave breaker and the main dike is later on, it gets silted later on, and mangroves could grow there, which would serve as coastal protection eventually of the fish pond. And third is to improve pond water fertilization techniques because of the irregular rainfall, and the farmers would be looking into trying to adjust their cropping pattern with the changes in seasons. And lastly is to purchase the necessary equipment such as pumps for low-lying areas so that they could have deeper water to arrest the increasing temperature in the shallow pond, and other equipments that would be necessary. Then for the science and technology brief, we propose the study on enhancing pond productivity of milkfish ponds, as these are long ponds. The ponds have been long in use, and most of the ponds are now devoid of nutrients because of the constant culture operations. And we hope that research could be done on how to improve pond productivity. Then research and selective breeding of milkfish that would be more tolerant to temperature fluctuation and other things that would be done. Incidentally, there are some researches on milkfish that is already being done at CIFDEC, and we hope that some of these concerns will be taken on by CIFDEC. And learn from lessons from previous extreme climate events. So since we have been exposed to several climate events, we hope these lessons are being gathered by respective agencies, and they could come up with initiatives on how to address these particular extreme events. Conduct research on mangrove planting and program. So it has been found that mangrove does serve as coastal protection. And we propose that a research should be done on what particular species should be planted on particular areas following the mangrove zonation. The Bureau of Fisheries also is conducting a national mangrove planting program now, and we hope this could also help with the research that's being undertaken. Strengthen fish disease surveillance and pest control. Because of the increasing temperatures, we expect to have more disease outbreaks in aquaculture areas, as well as in lakes and inland bodies of water. Conduct training on climate change-related topics. Disseminate information materials. As Eknat had mentioned, there's a lot of information that's being available, and we hope this could be translated into a more popular language so that the farmers would be able to learn from them and get information from. For policy brief, the first one is to make the Provincial Disaster Risk Reduction Management Council are responsible for the overall climate adaptation measures. They're doing this now, but most of the activities are still fragmented. And there is also a National Disaster Reduction Management Program who coordinates all this. And then strengthen coastal system for developing an integrated coastal management plan. So the Bureau of Fisheries is into CRM activities already, and we hope this could still be strengthened to take on issues about climate change. Improve early warning systems. As mentioned earlier, there's a climate field school in Dumangas, and initially the climate field school provides warning systems for farmers, and we hope they could start providing early warning systems for fishers also. Then train trainers and farmer caretakers operators of the climate field school to funding from the Department of Agriculture. The staff from the Climate Field School has initially been trained by the Department of Science and Technology through the Weather Bureau. And there's only around 5 of them, and we hope the knowledge they have could also be disseminated, and more people would be trained and informed about the Climate Field School. Follow an ecosystem management approach and secure funds for climate smart research and technology. And secure climate funding and insurance and soft loans for farmers. Loan programs still be to be discussed with appropriate agencies, although there are loan programs that's available in the Department of Agriculture. Develop an integrated fish pond lease agreement inventory. The fish pond lease agreements being issued by the Bureau of Fisheries to the Department of Agriculture, out of the 4,000 that I mentioned earlier, there are some areas there which are not really developed or are not really utilized. So it has been suggested that these FLA areas should be reverted back to their mangrove state. So there is a need to do an inventory so that we will know how many areas are available to be reverted back to mangrove. Then enhance women's participation in future adaptation measures. There are the government of the Philippines has a gender and development program, and it requires all government agencies to provide to set aside about 5% of their yearly funds for women activities, for gender activities. Women, especially in the area, are quite empowered because there are several women's groups there who runs mangrove nursery projects. So, and also they are very active in the CRM programs that we do. Okay, so all those recommendations from farmer science and technology, as well as the policies, would be referred to the specific agencies that have mandates on them. So it's either BFAR or the National Integrated Fisheries Technology Development Center, or the RFTC, the Fisherman's Training Center. Then either from research from CIFDEC or from the National Fisheries Research and Development Institutes, and also from local government as well as the Farmer Field School, which we hope would be replicated in many coastal municipalities, and that their programs would finally integrate agriculture and fisheries concerns. So it has always been a part of our work to be able to share this information so that people would learn about what climate change is really about and would be able to provide the right responses or adaptation measures. So along this presentation, I want to end by this cartoon strip that I found. It says, "What are you doing?" There's a man who placed some ice cubes on the water, and he said, "I'm putting ice cubes in the ocean to help fight global warming." I remembered earlier that Dr. Chatri mentioned that since 1995, we've been talking about the changing climate. And since then, it seems that our access to information has not really been that much. So from here, the man went on and said, "That's nice. Where do you get your ice cubes?" "From my ice cube machine." So I asked, is this informed decision? I don't think so. So I wish to thank our partners, for helping us gather information, learn lessons from about climate change. And we hope that we would be able to make informed decisions in our lives. Thank you very much.